Line, Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we start off today's show talking with Titans head coach Brian Callahan. He and Rand Carthon are at the NFL Combine. They spoke with the media earlier today. So we will catch up with Brian Callahan here in just a couple of moments. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators take on the Ottawa Senators tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starting at 6 p.m. on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Back at Bridgestone Arena after that freaking red-hot road trip, 5-0-0 on the road trip. Now, the Predators haven't been playing their best hockey at Bridgestone Arena, and you know I've been afraid of the Zag D-Mace. And tonight, the Predators take on a not very good team in the Ottawa Senators, so it should be a good game tonight, and it is fun to have hockey and a playoff race here at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick will join us shortly. D-Mace is here. How are we doing?
Hey, I'm doing well this time. I'm excited to have the head coach on, Brian Callahan, to, you know, discuss the Titans and the state of the offense. And that's something that I'm sure everybody wants to hear. We had Rand on with Chase and Big Joe last hour. We got a chance to hear Rand at the Combine as well. So it's going to be nice to hear Coach.
And joining us now is Titans head coach Brian Callahan. Brian, appreciate you for joining us. I know that this week is a busy one, so we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. First and foremost, I wanted to start off with a topic that we have been talking about ad nauseum. I know a lot of Titans fans have been talking about as well, and that's receiver or offensive line in the first round. Before we get into specifics, kind of wanted to talk about more philosophically. When you look at, you know, receiver versus offensive line, setting your young quarterback up for success, what do you think is more important? Is that being great, you know, having elite protection up front for the quarterback, or can you afford to be good and get the job done up front on the offensive line if you have elite and great pass catchers?
Yeah, it's a great question. Obviously, I've been a part of this debate before, and we ended up selecting Ja'Marr Chase. I do think that there's a value in surrounding the quarterback with capable weapons, and they come in a lot of different forms, receivers, backs, tight ends. The more of those guys you have, the better it's going to be, the more chances the quarterback has for success. The flip side of that argument is that it's hard for a quarterback to complete balls if he can't get the ball off, and he's got to evade pressure at a high rate. And so I think there's arguments for both. I've always generally fallen on the side of having players that can score touchdowns is what matters in today's NFL. But that also shouldn't be assumed that I dismiss the importance of having a good offensive line, because I certainly do not dismiss that. But if you're looking philosophically, that's generally where I've leaned in my career. But I think every year and every situation is different.
Absolutely. Titans head coach Brian Callahan is with us. You bring it up. You were in this situation in 2021 with the Cincinnati Bengals. It's like deja vu all over again. You know, you had the opportunity to either take the offensive lineman, give Joe Burrow some protection, ultimately went with Ja'Marr Chase. You say that traditionally, philosophically, you've taken the touchdown score. I know you were on with our colleague Jared Stillman a few weeks ago, and you said, look, it came down to, do we take the elite touchdown scorer, or do we take the elite player that can't score touchdowns? Obviously, you went with the elite touchdown scorer. I know that no player is Ja'Marr Chase, and it's not fair to compare other players to Ja'Marr Chase. But also, Ja'Marr Chase isn't the only elite touchdown scorer in the National Football League. Do you view Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers or both as elite touchdown scorers in the National Football League?
Yeah, those guys are really impressive, a little bit that I've seen. Obviously, I'm kind of just starting the college scouting process. But, man, those guys are pretty dynamic, both very different, skill sets and styles. But they can both play football. And, you know, I think one of the things that's, you know, unique and probably different than it was in this current situation is in Cincinnati we were picking at 5, and we were picking against two players that were both pretty well consensus that they were going to be all pro caliber players. And so the talent level was equal. And all things being equal, we chose to go with the guy that could score points. I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case every year in the draft. And so picking a 7, there might be a tackle that is a better player ultimately than the receiver, or a receiver that is better than whatever tackle is available. And in that case, you have to make that decision. I don't think that you can take that situation in Cincinnati and necessarily totally parallel it to where we are now. It makes for good conversation, but I do think the situations are dramatically different, and the types of players are going to be very different. But the good thing is there's a lot of really good ones to pick from when you're picking at seven.
We'll talk with Brian Callahan, the Tennessee Titans' new head coach. Now, Coach, I'm going to stay on the theme of the wide receivers, obviously, because I was a former wide receiver myself.
Absolutely.
How do you approach, because like you said, you got to have touchdown scores. But how do you approach a situation like Treylon Burks, where he's been here 2 years going on three, he's shown flashes, and I'm sure you scouted him coming out of college. He's shown flashes, but he's had some really, like, odd injuries. No hamstring pulls, anything like that, but just odd sort of injuries during the year or before the camp start. How do you approach that situation?
You know, I think there's an element for him of personal accountability in that, and getting himself ready to play. You know, I know that that's been a up and down issue for him as far as being physically in the right place, in the right space to go perform at a high level. And hopefully he's learned those lessons. I think you're exactly right, though. He does flash. He has talent. He has ability. And part of my job and our job as an offensive coaching staff is to put him in position to do things that he does well. And hopefully we can, with the strength training regimen and with the practice regimen, hopefully we can help him stay healthy. That's also part of our job, too. And I think that he's got the ability and talent to help us. And our job is to try to find out the best way to get it from him. And I think that when you have good players, you got to do your best to get something out of them. And even though he's been inconsistent in his previous two seasons, he's got a fresh start with us. And hopefully he takes advantage of that and comes ready to roll in April when we start up.
And I guess that's all a player wants, especially when a new head coach comes in and they've had difficulty standing a lineup or even, you know, getting playing time. They just want a clean slate, and it seems like you guys are going to give Treylon that. Now, in regards to the offensive line, you know, I don't want to say your dad because I want to keep this more coach to coach, but Bill,
sure,
what he's able to do and what he's been able to do with offensive linemen, does that give you a little leeway to not necessarily – because, you know, everybody – the question is, will the Titans take an offensive lineman in the first round or will they take a receiver? Having someone like Bill on the staff, does that give you the leeway to potentially, if you don't see that guy you want in the first round, you can push it off to the second round because Bill has done an exceptional job at developing offensive linemen?
Yeah, I think that does work into our advantage for sure. I think he's – as good a developer of offensive line talent as anybody in football. So that's the unique advantage that we have. I will say he'll be the first to tell you, and I'll be the second, that it's hard to replace great players. So if you have a chance to get an impact player up front, it is hard to falter there. And if you got a great talent and great coaching, now you have yourself a chance to have a dynamic player for your offensive line. But it does give us an advantage in the sense that he's as good at developing linemen as anybody in football. And we all know over the course of a season, you're going to have to play with a bunch of them. And you got to have depth and you got to have good coaching in order to make those guys have an impact when you need them, when you call on them to come play for you. And inevitably, you're going to play with probably 8 or 9 different linemen over the course of the season, and they all have to be up to the task. And thankfully, we have my dad here to do that. And you know, I think there's some interesting talent on our roster, too, that I'll be interested to see how they develop with my dad there as well. So, obviously, a huge advantage for us.
Well, I'm going to start referring to him as your dad because you refer to him as that as well.
I do. Yeah, you know, I say I've thought about how do I refer to him, and it's like, you know what, he is my dad. He's a great coach, but I'll still refer to him as my dad, and it doesn't bother me. So if you guys want to refer to him as my dad, I'm good with that too.
Absolutely. Brian Callahan, Tennessee Titans head football coach. Now, Coach, you know, you take this job with an offense that has struggled over the last couple of years, whether it be due injury, guys not being available, or the offensive line. Now you have this young quarterback in place who you feel, and I'm sure everyone on that coaching staff feel, has talent. But Titans fans, they want to see like this microwave offense. They want to see instant, you know, instant scoring, instant, you know, showtime and everything else. How long does it take for an offense to get going? Because it took you guys some time with Zach Taylor in Cincinnati to get that offense to going. But once they started going, boy, oh, boy, were they scoring points. But how long does it take for an offense to really get going the way you envision it?
You know, it does. There's a process to it. You know, you have to build you have to build reps over time. As you know, you have to have things that you're good at, things that you can lean on. And then you got to find out what your team is. And I always feel like at the beginning of every season, even in Cincinnati, we were always still trying to find out what were we going to be this particular season. What is our identity as a football team? Because it does change from year to year. Players are different. Scheme evolves. Defensive schemes evolve. And so there's an element of growth that's required. To sit there and say we're just going to roll the ball out on the field in September and score 30 points every game we go out, I think is wishful thinking. You know, it's going to be a process, and we got a lot of things to work through and a lot of players we have to add. But I'm confident that we can get there. I know the system works. I've seen it work a lot of places, and I know that we're going to put guys in great positions. So we'll lean on whatever our strengths end up being this year, and as we keep adding talent, we'll keep putting those guys in great spots to perform. And if we're not great on offense and we're really good on defense, then you know what? We'll lean on our defense. We'll run the ball. We'll do all those things to play with the strength of the team. And so whatever it looks like early on, just know that there's a vision long term on what we expect it to get to, and that is ultimately being able to be one of the better teams in the NFL in passing and one of the better teams in scoring, because that's ultimately, when you look up at the end of the year, those are the teams that are winning games and getting into the playoffs and having chances to win championships. And so that's the league. It's a passing league, but there's a process to get there.
Talking with Titans head coach Brian Callahan, who's in Indianapolis for the NFL scouting combine. Brian, you know, the wide receiver offensive line conversation is not going anywhere. I'm sure at this point you are well versed in this conversation. But as far as the offensive line is concerned, you know, the Titans did take an offensive lineman in the first round last year. Have you decided where Peter Skoronski will play?
Yeah, his best position is going to be guard. There's always a place to cross train, and he'll get some reps there at tackle, but his NFL position, I think he's going to be a dynamic guard. And I do think that he's got the flex to play some tackle if you need it, but I think his best spot is going to be inside. And he went through some growing pains. That's a transition going from a tackle spot to the guard. Things happen faster inside. Bodies are on you a lot quicker. There's an adjustment period that goes with that. And I thought he settled in as the year went along. And I think getting with my dad and his technique and how he teaches it, I think is only going to make him better at that spot. And so I'm excited for what he is. He's everything you want in the position. And so, you know, we'll start with him playing guard and probably cross-training some at tackle. Like, all these guys will have to play multiple positions. But I think he's going to be a really good offensive guard.
Okay, so Skoronski at guard. That leaves an opening at left tackle, a potential opening at right tackle. What's your philosophy of filling those holes on the outside? Is it putting a veteran next to Peter Skoronski, or is it attacking that in the draft?
You know, it's really hard to get premier tackles in general, left ones in particular. You either got to draft them high or you got to pay them a ton of money in free agency. And generally speaking, those tackles don't ever make it to free agency. It's rare that a high-level offensive tackle makes it into free agency. Just doesn't happen very often. So if you want those style of players, you generally have to draft them high. There is obviously cases where guys have gotten drafted later and played really well, but for the most part, you look at tackles, they're all usually top 15 style picks and end up playing really well for a long time, and that's where you find them. But I will say that there is some young talent on our line that I do like. I think Jalen Duncan did some good things. I think Petit Ferrer has talent. I mean, I think we got some guys that have traits that just need to be refined and coached, and hopefully we got more in those spots as well. So not saying that that's where we're going to stop, but we're going to keep trying to add good players. But I think there's some things to work with on the roster as well.
Well, if I was at a university and I had to pick professors, I think your dad would be that professor. Like, I want that class because I know that I'm going to learn the most that I could possibly learn. We're talking with Tennessee Titans head coach Brian Callahan. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals struggled that first year, and you were there. And then finally got that thing going. What were some things that you saw with that whole process that you will now bring with you here and sort of do some of those same things?
Yeah, there's a lot to learn. Obviously, we got there in 2019, and they had a couple of issues. They had missed on some early draft picks, I think was what hurt the team. We had some aging players that weren't probably what they were in their prime. But again, that was a prideful organization. I mean, they went to 5 straight playoffs. I think Marvin Lewis is a hell of a coach. Did a great job there. I just think that there was a fall off somewhere in a couple of years, and it really set the roster back. And we got there, and there wasn't a lot there that was worth building around at the point. We had, again, aging stars, and not a lot of young talent. And so we had to do a great job identifying that talent in the draft. And one of the things I took with me from that particular experience, particularly that first and second year, is we were very intentional about the type of player in terms of the makeup that we brought in. Team captains, guys that played in winning programs was really important to us, and it helped change the culture of the locker room. And then when we supplemented in free agency, we tried to bring in, obviously, the talent is a requirement. But the second part of it was is we tried to bring guys that have been on playoff teams, that have been on winning organizations, and that were the right makeup to help supplement those young players with the same traits. And so we're trying to build a locker room of guys with the ones that are already here, which there's quite a few of them, and then keep bringing in that type of makeup and mentality, because I do believe at the end of the day, everyone in the NFL is going to be good. You're going to have good enough players to win games. What the culture is like in the building and in the locker room is ultimately what's going to separate the great teams from the ones that are just competitive. And we're trying to be a great team, and I think that you have to have a great culture involved. That's largely about what type of player you bring in. And I think if you look at our Cincinnati teams, there's not going to be many people that would argue that the culture in our locker room was probably as good as anybody's, I would argue. And it was very intentional. It was part of the process. And I think I learned a lot from that. I'll do a lot of those things in a very similar manner.
Now, I know that, you know, the NFL has a lot of rules in pertaining to their offseason. They want the players to have their time away from the coaches and away from the building, and allow the coaches to do the things that they need to do as far as evaluating and scouting. But as a new coach, does some of those rules change in regards to you being able to talk to a player currently on your team? Because when you get the job, you want to talk to as many guys in that locker room as possible to get them to, you know, so you can fill them out, they can fill you out. But I understand how the rules can be and are typically in the NFL when it comes to the offseason.
Yeah, you have to reach out to guys. You have to talk to them. There's a lot of guys. The benefit of being in Nashville is a lot of guys live in town, and so I've seen quite a few guys in the building over the couple weeks. We are allowed to have conversations. They obviously can't be of schematic and football nature. It's more of a get to know you conversation. But it's been great. I've reached out. I haven't hit everybody yet. It's hard to get everyone all the time. I've missed a bunch of guys back and forth. But the guys that I have talked to, hopefully, are spreading the same message of, you know, I want guys to come in and talk to me. My room, you always hear coaches say, hey, my door's always open. I've been places where that's been said. It's not necessarily always true. But I live that. My door is open. I want guys to come talk to me. I want to get to know them. I'm trying to build relationships because those are the most important part of this whole process is all guys want to know that you got their back and you care about them and you have their best interest at heart. And I think most guys respond well to that. I know I do. That's the kind of people I want to be around. My job is to try to make that environment for the players as well. And, you know, we'll get plenty of time to get to the football stuff. The scheme is there. It'll always be there. We'll get there. But the most important thing for me is building the team and building the culture of the team with the guys that we have in our locker room and then the guys that we're going to bring in.
Brian Callahan is with us. You mentioned just a few moments ago how with a left tackle or any of those premier positions, you either have to draft him high or you have to spend a lot of money on him. And that's unfortunately the reality with free agency. Usually have to overpay for those players. That's just the nature of the league. What would be, and I know it's ultimately Rand Carthon's decision, but what is your approach in free agency? How aggressive do you plan
to be? Yeah, I think because you have money doesn't mean you have to spend all of it in the first 2 days. I think there's a methodology to that approach. I think there's a couple of impact positions that are going to require a lot of money and some right out the gate. Corners, tackles, those kind of things. Those things show up pretty quickly. Defensive linemen, that's you got to be prepared to pay the market value for those positions. And sometimes it's more than you want to pay. But with the way the cap has gone and it's gone up every year, I think the number is a little bit less of the numbers are going to get blown out and everyone's going to be, oh, my God, I can't believe they paid that much. Well, ultimately, I think you look at it as a percentage of the cap. And if you're paying X amount of dollars and it's 20% of the cap, that's what it's always been. Just the numbers gotten bigger. I think it puts it in better perspective for what you're paying for the market. And yeah, when you go buy players in free agency, you are at the market value and you're at the mercy of the market. And if you want them, you got to pay for them. And sometimes you have to pay more. But there is positions that are that's okay to do. You're going to go pay a corner. You're going to go pay a high end receiver. You're going to go pay a pass rusher. That's what you have to do. But there's a second part of free agency, I think, that we have to have a really good plan for, and I think we do, is is where do you find the value players? Where do you find the guys that you pay $5 to $8 million to that are going to be impact players and impact people on your roster? And so sometimes you can get a little more bang for your buck in that second wave of free agency, and you can add more players. And so when you have holes, you may need to add more necessarily than just having one big marquee splash. Not that you're not trying to get those guys too, but there is a middle class in free agency that I think you can really make an impact on your team. For example, we signed Von Bell in Cincinnati, and he was an impact player both culturally and on the field for a deal that was relatively fair. And he made a bigger impact than his contract, I would say, when you look back on the totality of his time. So it's a fun process, but you can build a lot of different ways, and I think you got to be smart about when you go aggressive and spend really big at the top of the market, and then when you try to find those guys that fit in that middle range of free agency that can still be really impactful players.
How do you approach the tight end position? Because we've talked so much about the wide receiver position, and we've talked about the tackle. Obviously, those are two places of need, but also the tight end position. You know, how do you approach and have you evaluated, and what do you think of Chigakonkwo and Wiley? You got two young tight ends, one that has shown a lot of flash in Chig, and then another that is still learning the game. How do you approach and evaluate that position?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that position. I mean, those are two young players. I've always felt like it takes tight ends usually between 3 and 4 years to really come into their own. It's a hard position to play. Because they got to do all the stuff in the run game. They have to be in the pass game. They got to know protections. That position probably has to know more of the offensive scheme than any position on the roster because of just the versatility that they have. And so to see what Chig's done in his career, to see the flashes and potential of an athlete like Josh, those are two young, talented players that we have to get the most out of. And I think we can find great ways to use them because – just like any talented player, you find a way to put them in great position to go win matchups, and that's our job as coaches. But I think those guys are both capable of doing that at the tight end spot and can do some of the other things required of the position in the blocking and protection game. When you have a dynamic pass catcher at tight end, you find every which way you can to use them. There's not a lot of them out there, but there is some. You know, the Travis Kelce's of the world, but those guys are so dynamic that they force you to find ways to be creative and get them in spots that they can make an impact. Of all the positions with young players on our team, the tight end group with those two guys in particular is really exciting. And I think having J.O. there, Justin Outen, coach that group kind of back to what he's been used to doing over his career, I think will really help those guys grow.
We're talking with Titans head coach Brian Callahan. I know the goal is to win games. I know the ultimate goal is to get to the Super Bowl, to win championships, of course. But is another goal of this season to figure out what you have in your young quarterback in Will Levis?
Yeah, I mean, we have to do that as we go. You know, I got a lot of confidence and belief in what Will's potential is, and then my job and his job too is to reach it. And I saw a lot of great flashes that when he played this second half of the year, really some really impressive stuff. There's a lot of things that he can get better at too, and I think I'm excited about that process for him. He gets a whole slate of OTAs, he gets a whole training camp as the guy, and I think you're going to see a big jump. In his ability to play the position. And I'm super excited about that because he's got all the other things that you want in your quarterback. And, again, my job and his to reach his potential. But there's going to be some things that probably both for me as a first-time head coach and for him as a first-time full-time starter that we're going to grow. And there's going to be some bumps that we're going to have to fight through and some adversity that we're going to have to face. And I think we're all aware of that. And it's just a matter of how you respond to that is what's going to determine how good ultimately we can be. So, There's some elements of the season that are going to be seeing what we have, but that's without question. We're going to try to go win as many games as possible, put ourselves in good position. So I think we're going to be able to do that, but there's definitely going to be some evaluation as we go, too, on what we have.
Titans head coach Brian Callahan. Brian, really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, and safe travels back from Indianapolis over the weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Nice to talk to you guys.
I appreciate it. Titans head coach Brian Callahan. We got a lot to unpack there. Got a lot to unpack there, and we will do that coming up next. Full reaction to what we just heard from Titans head coach Brian Callahan, and of course, we are into your reaction as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.